Today on Rockin' the Suburbs,
we learn what happens when you form a trio with two guitars and a viola and no drummer.
Sounds like it might end up on VHF Records.
All right, it's day two of Rarities.
Rarities day two.
Mm-hmm.
It's another way to put it. We are still here on the deck.
So it's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
I'm Jasper Cole.
And also with us is Scout.
Scout. A really cute dog.
Make some noise for us,
Scout. Super cute. Come on, Scout. You're on mic. You can do it.
Cover your ears, Patrick. This is the new official dog of Rockin' the Suburbs.
Oh, what? I think I got to agree with you. I don't have anything that can beat this.
So where are we here? Okay, so yesterday we talked about some rarities, some stuff that we have in our collections that you can't easily find on streaming services these days. We're kind of basing this on Spotify, which is the one we both subscribe to, but I think they're pretty much all the same in terms of what gets licensed, you know, whether it's Apple Music, Tidal, all that kind of stuff. The power of record collecting is that maybe you have some stuff that not that many other people have that you can listen to.
That's right.
And now you want to share that with the world on this podcast, right? Which is global. It's worldwide.
That's right. Yeah, so, we go all the way to Norway.
That's
maybe.
Right. So what do you have today, Patrick?
Well, Jim, I loved what you did yesterday because you took Bob Mould and Paul Westerberg, two very well-known Minneapolis iconic alternative artists, and found tracks of theirs that aren't on the streaming services. That's really cool. Love that. In some ways, that's a much more powerful kind of rarity these days to find that undiscovered gem from a well-known artist. But I went in the other direction. I have a band I want to tell you about that I can only find one song of theirs on a compilation anywhere online, and it's on a strange compilation that came out in 2007 called Sidereal Rest by this band called U.S. Saucer. Have either of you guys heard of U.S. Saucer?
No.
Okay.
I'm afraid I have not.
Well, I've got two of their four albums on vinyl.
Four albums.
They are a band that put together music from 1993 to about 1998. They were based in San Francisco. They were on a label called Armadillo Records. Is that right, Jasper? What's the label?
Amarillo
Records. I'm sorry. Oh. Out of San Francisco.
Not out of Texas. Out of San Francisco.
Out of San Francisco.
Right. I was going to say back there. It looks like they're, I don't know where, somewhere out in a futuristic wasteland.
They're coal miners or something. Yeah,
definitely. I think there are a lot of armadillos in Amarillo.
Yeah, there might be. So that's part of it.
That's okay.
Singer bassist David Tholfsen, singer guitarist Margaret Murray, who also played with Barbara Manning, and then viola and guitarist Brian Hagman, who played with a band that I really love from the 90s called Thinking Fellers Union Local 282. I don't know if you guys remember
You've
them.
You've talked about this band before.
They were from San Francisco also. They put out four records. Jasper is holding the first two, My Company is Misery and Tender Places Come from Nothing. Now, what you'll guys notice about this band, U.S. Saucer, bassist, guitarist, viola, no drums in this band. So you're going to get a very unique sound here with some really, really interesting tones. It goes beyond alt country into something sort of desperate and lonely and really forlorn sounding. So to get you oriented, Jim, let's play a little bit of Willin', which is a Little Feat song, and it'll kind of give you an impression of how they interpret Little Feet, and it'll give you an idea of what they sound like.
Well, and let's not forget that the moos,
that's right,
like the sound a cow makes, apparently, moos, are by Greg Freeman.
Worked by the rain, dripped by the snow.
Oh,
So is the more moos thing kind of like more cowbell?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
But you know, very forlorn, very sort of lonely, distant sounding, like, you know, almost like out on the prairie, you know, somewhere on the border of Texas and New Mexico or something, you know. I don't know.
With this wind here, it's starting to feel like we're out on the prairie.
It is. It is.
Along the range.
Yeah.
But so, also, I mean, it sounded to me sort of like a, I mean, somewhere between Velvet Underground and Sebado in their, like, you know, answering machine days.
I'm really glad you said that, Jasper, because I totally agree with the Velvet Underground comparison. Like the early stuff when they did it slow with John Cale playing the viola and maybe Nico singing, some of those I'll Be Your Mirror or Sunday Morning, it's got that kind of haunted kind of vibe to it. So that was, you heard them doing Willin', which is a little George song recorded on the first Little Feat album.
Okay.
And then why don't you play a little bit of the other song, Jim, that we have. It's a single from 1993 that is called Size It Up. And let's play a little bit of that. And it's from the same year, but you'll get a kind of another sense of what else they can do. So I don't know if you set out today to make a band with two guitars and a viola or a bass guitar and a viola and not have any drums and try to imitate the sound of molasses or, you know, as Jasper says, in the middle of a German forest at night or something like that.
Yeah.
But what a unique band. And you know, go back to early 90s. There wasn't a lot of bands doing this kind of stuff. And they do, when you listen to both of their albums, you do get a pronounced country influence at times, so there definitely is that there. But I do not have their third and fourth album. So in 1996, they released a CD only in Germany, so appropriate, called United States Saucer. And then in 1997, their last album, Hell Yes, came out. And I have not yet been able to track down a copy of that on Amarillo Records. So I'm working. It's on my want list. There are a couple of copies on Discord, but they seem a little pricey for U.S. Saucer. But, you know, you got to complete the collection, so.
So we need more Patreon dollars coming
that's
in.
That's right. That's we should saying. Do that to complete some collections. You know, it's not a bad idea at all.
You know, one of the things that that you can get with Patreon patronage of this show, if you go up to the $25 a month level, we'll actually buy records for you.
We will buy records for you.
Right. So
you could get something as fascinating as U.S. Saucer. Let's just it was a bad advertisement.
Let's that. Just think about that for a moment, people. Right.
Now, we do have a couple people who have pledged at that level. It's very exciting.
Yes. I can't wait to go record shopping.
Really exciting
for that.
It.
We're going to do that.
It's going to be great.
Is that going to be a joint thing? We're going to go out.
I believe we should.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think so.
Sweet. Meet up is this like store? One of those things where you pay money and every month a box comes with like clothes that you get to try on, but you know, but their records instead, and you got to listen to them, and if you don't like them, you send them back.
Or a little thing of shaving lotion that you go through in like 2 days. And a razor that's not all that great, but it's pretty good.
It's close to that, except that we won't send it to you every month because we're not that good about keeping up with it. And you wouldn't want to wear our clothes.
No. God, no. Believe me.
Yeah. You'd rather us, I think, buy records for
that's
you.
That's right. Yeah, I think it'd be a good deal.
Okay, here's the obvious question.
Okay.
How did you discover U.S. Saucer?
U.S. Saucer was a band I knew about because of Thinking Fellers Union, Local 282, and I saw that the guy was playing in this group as well and kind of checked it out and just liked it. I believe I ordered those records from Forced Exposure back in the early 90s.
Oh, yeah, Forced Exposure.
Yeah, they had a great, obscure, sort of out mail order section, pre-Discogs. But, yeah, it was a band I always kind of liked and thought
this
were really unique.
I'm not exactly sure what to say other than this. I enjoy this. I would like to hear more of this. It feels like a record that you really have to spend records that you really have to spend some time with, right?
Yeah. Makes a good back to back with some Scott Walker.
But
too,
it makes
probably.
Me happy that these exist. And here's why. Because, again, going back to the record pressing plant. And I promise the listeners, we're going to get more into this when we get into these episodes.
You guys are going to love it.
But now having seen how much money, time, and effort goes into actually making a record, the idea that stuff like this even exists is really a miracle, isn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of incredible. It really is. Yeah, and they made 1,000 or 500 or 1,500 or 2,000 copies of that or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Of your bass guitar and viola.
Right.
Sad country songs.
Love it.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. So that's one from the collection now. All I got another one for you guys real quick here. And you guys know that I occasionally play in a band, and we put out a record last year on a label called VHF Records. I have no idea how Bill Kellum, who runs VHF Records, has stayed in business as long as he has, but he's put out some...
Patreon.
he's put out some really good records over time, some very strange and very obscure stuff. Anyone who lets Wingtip Slope put out an album and then a CD with 41 songs on it with it, obviously is a little crazy. But Bill... played in a band, and I'll pass these around for you guys. He played in a band called Rake, and I think when you look at this cover, remember, do you know Rake at all?
I think I just know through my conversations with you.
Yeah. So this is their first one there, Cow Song with My Fish Died, is their debut single. It was on L Records. This is before Bill changed it to VHF. But he put out several albums. In between 1990 and 2002 or so, they put out a lot of music. Here on Discogs, there's 11 releases listed, and then another seven inches. So there's 18 things listed total, including a couple cassettes. There is not any Rake anywhere on Spotify or Apple Music. There's another band called Rake, several bands called Rake. There's one from Canada that sort of looks like a heavy metal band or sort of a rock and roll band that's there. But this was Bill Kellum played the bass and Jim Ayer played guitar. Vinnie Van Gogh was his Rake name. And there was Carl and there was Rob that played with them. And
everything they did, you know, the way they put their album covers together, as you can see from these two singles and album that I have here and also... You know, the way they approached their music, they would play short snippets and put them all together. They could play The Swell Maps and Velvet Underground if they wanted to. You know, they could stretch out. They knew rock and roll. They were so passionate about music. They didn't have necessarily a set lineup at any time. They would, you know, improvise at the drop of a hat and do all kinds of things and really break the form. You know, and they took all kinds of music history and chopped it back up and put it together. And they were very inspirational to me and to Wingtip Slode. And just the way Bill persevered with VHF to put out music that he loved, that the artist cared about. And, you know, the consequences be damned. He never, you know, did anything the artist didn't want for an album cover. In many ways, that reminds me of Flying Nun. You know, just like, hey, you want this for the album cover? Well, okay, it's your record. And, you know, that's always been very inspirational to me, and the way Jim and has continued to, you know, make his own art and everything they did just meant a lot to me. And, you know, I think it's a shame that all of their music is not available on the streaming services. I wish it was all out there so that people could dive into this entire catalog and just sort of get lost in the crazy world of Rake.
They have an album that is online on Bandcamp that just came out on Bandcamp recently on the VHF Bandcamp page called, it combines two albums, The Art Ensemble of Rake and The Telltale Moog, where they do have close to 75 tracks of Moog experiments that are all 1 minute long. There's 81 tracks together total on that album. So that's, you've got the Art Ensemble of Rake and the Telltale Moog there. Those are kind of different albums. But what I would like to play is off one of their singles here. I'd like to get this second single that they put out. This is, I think, the first or second release on the VHF label. But I'm going to play a song called Motorcycle Shoes for you guys. So yeah, Jim, just kind of a really cool experimental rock and roll band. And I'll tell you a true story. When Sonic Youth was doing a tour of the United States, and they asked local bands to open up in every area, and they did two nights at the 930 Club, and they asked Rake and Pelt to open up one of the shows, and they asked Wingtip Slow to open up the other one. So they did that on the whole tour.
That's like, so cool.
I just wanted to give Rake a little bit of love as a big influence in my life, and I have a lot of their records at home and CDs and stuff, so... I loved them. The last thing I was going to say, one thing I used to love to do with Rake is when it would snow and you get like 6 to 8 inches of snow on the ground, and you know how your car would just kind of fishtail around? I used to love to just turn up Rake really loud and drive around and let my car just kind of fishtail in the snow in the suburban streets. It was a lot of fun.
I hope he hears this.
Yeah, I'll make sure he does. So, yeah, I just wanted to quickly mention
that. I was just going to say, I give huge props to anyone who runs an independent label on any kind of scale.
Bravo.
I think it's a true labor of love. You probably don't make much money off of it, or you may actually lose money off of it. But you do it because you love music and because you want to get this music out into the world. And there was a time when the only way to do that was to get these, you know, 7 inches stores and hope that somebody would buy it. And you would hit that person who just, like, you know, the crate divers who just go for, like, what is the 7-inch I don't have, or what looks cool, or whatever. And that's something about the love of music right there. So
yeah, anyone who's ever picked up an instrument is just hoping, you know, please God, let my music be heard while someone is sliding around in the snow in their car.
Of course.
It's kind of the ultimate compliment.
Yeah.
So can you explain one thing to me here? As I'm looking at Bandcamp, on the Bandcamp page, when I clicked on Art Ensemble of Rake / the Telltale Moog.
Yep.
There are 1, 2, 3, 4. There's 6 songs that look like they're the Art Ensemble of Rake.
That's correct.
And then the rest is the Telltale Moog, and they're all like 1 minute bits, but they start with the Telltale Moog Part 1 and go all the way up to the Telltale Moog Part 75.
That's
so
right.
So what are those exactly?
Well, I'll tell you what it says here in the description. Disc 2 takes a near random look through the Rake archives and turns up ear-splitting noise rock, tuneful jams, incompetent guitar tuning, found sounds, long stretches of music stolen from other people's records, an angry confrontation with a man in the parking lot of the Herndon Rec Center, 10 seconds of Dylan stuck inside Memphis.
What?
Stuck inside a mobile with the Memphis Blues again, and that's just for starters.
So can I randomly pick one and we play it?
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's see what we get.
I'm going to pick the Telltale Moog Part 22.
Sounds good. It's a good number. Yeah, so that's it.
There you
Ray
go.
Ken, U.S. Saucer. A couple of
great.
Go check those
collection.
Out, people.
Yep.
A couple of rarities in Patrick's collection.
Yep.
And
not able to find those anywhere on
and
the
Rake
streamings.
Rake is my co-pilot.
Yep, that's a good album of theirs.
All right, cool. Thank you for that. Thank you for sharing that.
Absolutely.
So we want to hear of other listeners who have rarities in their collections, right? I would really love to hear people just share, like, I have this weird record in my collection or this record that... never made it out into the world in the way that so many records are accessible today. And if you have that, you know, just rip us an MP3, send
great.
It to us, tell us a little bit about it, and
tell us
the
backstory.
We'll do a whole listener rarities thing. We've done that before.
We
had some people contact us before on this, and it's been great.
What I want to hear are bands who have, like, released a single but haven't released an album, or you know, bands that you really love that, like, one song. But they just never, either they didn't record it or, you know, I was diving recently into the post Jawbreaker discography, and there's all this stuff. Jets to Brazil recorded a bunch of stuff, but they have a few songs that were never recorded that are out of this world, and, you know, stuff like that. I just love.
Wow. And there was just live stuff? Or
they only ever played it live. You know, like the songs that just didn't really match what they were doing.
Yeah.
They were, like, you know, stuck in their old ways to a degree, and I just love that kind of stuff, you know. And there's so many people who are just like, oh, why was this never recorded in a studio?
It's like my favorite song
exactly. Yeah, and there are, like, you know, two or three live recordings on crappy VHS camcorders.
I also like the bands from back in the day when, you know, because it's expensive to press vinyl, right?
Yeah.
So back in the day when you would do a 7-inch with two songs on each side at 33, right?
Because
that was the way you could get the maximum amount of music on something that was relatively cheap to press, right? So email us, rock@suburbspod.com. Mm-hmm. Call us,
612-440-1984.
Find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Suburbs Pod. The dog is running around crazy in the backyard now.
That's what she does.
It's so great.
She just wishes she had a yard like this.
Support the show financially at patreon.com/suburbspod, and you'll get some bonus stuff there.
And I promise the money is not going to go to me personally buying records for my collection.
You promise that?
Yeah, I promise.
Are you under oath?
No.
But we will buy records for you if you hit a certain level.
That's
we'll do that.
We
but there's
do.
Other stuff at lower levels. There's all kinds of stuff. You can get bonus stuff. And
something you're going to want to get.
It's a cool sticker that's coming your way, too.
That's what I was going to say. Yep.
Then the other thing is what? Oh, yes. Rate and review the show on iTunes. That also helps us out. That doesn't cost you anything. Subscribe all over the place. Go to every platform you can subscribe.
Just start
that would help us out.
Subscribing to everything.
That's right. And is that it? Is that everything? Oh, and speaking of rarities, actually, this isn't that rare. You can find it today. But support our house band, Quart Jar, by going to quartjar42.com and buying their music. You can also stream their stuff on Spotify and all those places, too.
I wonder if there's a Quart Jar song that they never recorded that people are, like, into. That could be an example.
Out.
Yeah. Let us know.
Yeah. If Randall, if you're interested, maybe we could figure out a way to make that a special thing. An unreleased Quart Jar song that maybe patrons could get.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Cool,
we can talk about that. All right, let's get out of here. This has gone on for a while. We're out on the deck. It's Rock in the Suburbs. We'll be back with something else tomorrow that we don't know what it is. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
I'm Jasper Colt.
And we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
But I mean, think of all the kids who had like the Millennium Falcon, you know, in plastic. You're like, cool, man, that's nice. But you know what's more fun? Playing with it. You know, like.